But this is the finale of, it's going to be in the books today. I was praying about the season finale. I'm saying season finale. Maybe we have a season two. Sometime. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't have to tell you. Netflix doesn't tell you. I don't have to tell you. It's just coming. Soon. Sometime soon, maybe. I don't know. But this season finale, I got some confirmation scriptures this week. I always read the verse of the day. I always do. That's how I start my day, and then I do my Bible reading, you know. I started, and I was just like, Lord, keep me going in this. Get me inspired, because it's been a hard week, and it's been a provocational week for me. And so he gave me 1 Peter 3:15. And I think I have that up there, don't I, Sean? Okay, that'd be great. It says, but in your hearts, set Christ apart. But in your hearts, set Christ apart. In your hearts, set Christ apart above all other stuff. You know how hard that is to do sometimes when the phone's ringing off the hook with crisis after crisis and you're under attack and you're trying to turn the other cheek and your pipes break and you don't feel good. And right. And it's like, it's hard to keep him first in those things, isn't it? It's hard to set him apart. It's okay. We need to be reminded, you know, but in your heart, set Christ apart above all other stuff as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. That's kind of what the series has been about, right? Giving him first place in our lives. And that says this. Here's the part. Here's the part that's my segue into today, I think. That's what I felt. Always be ready. Always be ready. When should I be ready? Always. Always be ready. Well, I wasn't ready. Ever have that situation? Some weren't ready. Man, that's the most terrible thing in the world, to have something that you've been waiting for and you're not ready. Man, I wasn't ready. Man, that vacation to the beach snuck up on me. It was on my calendar 365 days ago, and I plan on being 50 pounds. And here I am about 20 pounds higher. I wasn't ready for the beach. Man, I would get sad. Everybody else there enjoying the beach. I'm sitting in the AC going, wish I was out there. How about ready for, like, Publishers Clearinghouse. I got a couple calls this week that I won. I knew it was a scam because I never played. You know? I said, always be ready to give a logical defense. What? See, some stuff you got to know. Some stuff you have to know. You can't just play. Well, you know. You have to know some stuff. You got to back it up with facts, not just feelings. See, the gospel is, okay, I know feelings are very important. They are very, very important. I'm not minimizing feelings. Feelings are super important. But if you're going to rep God, you're going to need more than your feelings. It's great that you feel and he's loved and it's awesome. But you also have to have sound presentation based on his word. A logical defense. Why does feel God is loving? Prove it. Well, God wouldn't want you to do that. Prove that. Why just feel it? I don't care how you feel. He says, always be ready to give a logical, right? A logical defense based on God's words and God's ways. Why is it important to know God's words? Because that dictates our life. Those that became disciples, that's what we have to know. It's the manual of how we live. But sometimes I spend more time at ESPN, Kenny, than I am in the Word. Used to be. Right? I'm not saying you can read the word 24 hours a day and you're little bookworms. Some of you are just, no, Pastor, I can't do it. You know? But I'm saying this is reminding us where our source needs to come from, right? That's where we need to get our source. So always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks. Ask to account for the hope and confident assurance that's within you. Say, I'm the church. Say, I got to be ready to give my account. Yeah, your account. If you know Jesus, you have an account. And he's going to start calling on you to be ready to give it. Because thank God someone gave you their account. Because it helped you find Jesus. Right? He's calling. I don't know if you can feel that. He's going to start pressing your testimony in your life till you start giving an account of what he's done. And then you also have to realize you must be ready to give an account of me. because I'm going to have to give an account for what I gave an account for. He's going to ask me, hey, why'd this person leave? Well, Pat, I was being, were you or were you being mean? I don't know. I have to give an account for every word I say up here, every word I allow to get said up here. It's a heavy responsibility. I have to give an account. It says, yet do it. Oh, goodness. This is what got me. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Give an account how? With gentleness and respect. How do you tell your story when someone's in the middle of a mess and they're in the middle of a mess it used to be in? Do you do it with gentleness and respect? Or are you just harshing on them? I thought you were a Christian. Are you doing that? We'll do that with gentleness and respect. Isn't it nice when someone approaches you with gentleness and respect? Yeah, he's asking the church, say, I am the church, to give an account, but please do it with gentleness and respect. Right? Look at your neighbor. No. Look up. Ready? Look up. Say, it's time for me to be the church I ought to be. All right. This is the Uncivilized finale, season one. If there's another season in the works, it may be years. It could be next year. Could be in a couple weeks. I don't know. I'm going to talk to my staff. I'll consult with the Lord, and we'll see what happens. Because it's really, honestly, it's been a little bit ludicrous how some things I say behind the pulpit gets misquoted, misrepresented, and misstates my heart. And I take it on the cheek, usually fairly well. But then sometimes there comes a point, Harold, where I don't take it very well. The 70 times 7, I've not achieved that. It's embarrassing. I'm not there. I'm like 4 times, maybe. There's no times involved. Like, not 4 times 4, it's just 4 times. I turn 4 times, Lord, right? If I keep letting them hit me 70 times 7, what'll happen? They'll beat me to death. Uh-huh. Love your life, not unto death. That ain't easy, Jake. Ain't easy. Mm-mm. So I felt some pushback, you know? And then I realized, I don't know if you feel it, but the earth's climate's been changing. I talked to Reverend early about the pond turnover in the body of Christ, how a pond turns over. For you Arizonans, ponds are bodies of water that exist besides man-made lakes. I don't know. Look on the internet. They're ponds, P-O-N-D-S, not the cream. Okay, anyways. Yeah, so ponds have turnover, and that means the bottom of it, nutrients come bubbling up to the top at some point in time in this pond. And the stuff that's on the top, you can skim some of the dead stuff off, and other stuff falls to the bottom, right? And the word I felt to the body of Christ was, it's the pond of the body of Christ is turning over. It means I'm going to start skimming some dead stuff that refuses to sink deeper to me. And the people that have been on the surface, I'm going to cause you to start sinking deeper to me. And those of you that have been working in deepness, it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to rise up and feed the pond. And God's doing that in the body. And I was talking to Reverend Crouch this week, and I haven't seen him in 20 years, and we're just preaching each other back and forth. I want to preach that. I want to preach what you just said. I'm actually preaching what you just told me. You just said, I'm preaching that. You're preaching that? Oh my gosh. Can I borrow that? We're just going off. What's the Lord saying prophetically? Before you know it, we're just like, it was awesome. But that kept ruminating in my mind this week. Hey, it's turnover time. But this also means growth. Turnover is growth. Turnover brings a deepness, a richness. His church is in the middle of change. I don't know if you can feel that. Yeah, I often get upset because I feel like believers have been really childish at times during this season, fighting with people. Really fighting with people who really love God and try to follow Jesus, and they're just not doing it like you, and it's just a waste of time. We got to stop it. It's a waste of time. It's not waiting on the Lord. It's not occupying, right? If you're his church, say that. I am. All right. Uncivilized series, season one, episode 6, the finale. We started episode 1 with a key. And they all probably remember this key, but I'll go over it for you just because, you know. There's some new people here today, you know. A key for the church is, right? One of the keys for the church to end, eradicate, and destroy selfishness. That's one of the keys to this season. Is to end selfishness, right? I don't know if that was supposed to come up. Yep, you can keep it there. I'll let you know. It's a key for the church to do it. Is anyone Anyone been doing a good job with that? How's your selfishness been doing? Been rising up to the top of the pond? Get down there. Get down to the bottom of the pond, right? Get down, sink, boy. You know, a new season, we're going to end with another vital key at some point in time. It's not going to be right this second. But some keys are the key of keys. You know, like the Ring of Rings, the Throne of Thrones, the King of Kings. There's the key of keys that we're going to talk about today in our finale. That's super important. I'm going to highlight some of our keys that we did in season one. The key that we're going to go over today is really going to be so vital in helping us look like God and act like God in the future. But it's also going to help us distinguish us from the world and look uncivilized. It's that powerful of a key. But it's not yet. I want to talk about the end of me. That was the first thing. Shai, you can put that back up there. That's one of the keys. She gave you a hint because she felt bad for you. She knew no one knew what the key was. It's the end of me. Say, it starts with me. To end selfishness in the world, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. If you're an old school Catholic kid, after your recess, they made you sing that. Because why? They wanted you to settle down. Settle down. Trust God. Settle down. Yeah, you know, coming in your ties all crooked, got dirt on your head, from you got dodgeball marks. You know, there's a girl crying with a broken glass this third time that week. You know, and they go, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. You want to end selfishness on this planet? It has to start with you. You can't end anybody else's selfishness. And only you know your real selfishness. That's the facts, right? Let's do Matthew 16, 24 through 26. It's a little proof time. Then Jesus said to his disciples, anybody out there, disciple, raise your hand in the air like you just don't care. Say, hey! Mm-hmm. That's this new season. There's a bar over there. We get rowdy. Right? Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to be a disciple, then you got to know this. If anyone, okay? If anyone. This applies to who? Anyone. If anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself. If anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself. Hey, you want to follow me? Yeah, then you got to deny yourself. You want to follow me? Yeah, I'll follow you. What are you going over here? Why aren't we taking first class? Oh, dude, you better deny yourself. Why am I sleeping on the floor? Why is this my assignment? Why am I eye when I want to be ear? Why is my... Remember the Italian word? Stop the zit. Shut it down. Stop. If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself. Say the end of me.
End of me.
Yeah. We got to deny ourselves a lot more. Yes. I don't know about you. I got to deny myself. Not just in the kitchen. Don't look at me that way. I know I'm denying myself. But there's other things I got to deny myself the right to retribution.
Oh.
I got to deny myself the right to stand up for myself sometimes. I know that sounds contrary, doesn't it? I have to deny. That's how I have to deny myself. I don't know how you have to deny yourself. Sometimes the hardest thing, the most denial of myself that I can possibly do is shut my mouth. Truly, if you know me, that is a miracle. For you, okay. See, the key we learned here, and then the second key that we learned is this. Besides denying ourselves, we learned a little. I have another little thing up there. Don't I, Shy? Choose God's way whenever in conflict with civilization. We learned that during this series. Sometimes civilization doesn't go God's way. Has anybody noticed that?
Yes. Has
anybody been noticing that that's happening at times? Sometimes it happens, right? Not all the time. Sometimes there's some symbioticness, but a lot of times it's not, right? We learned that whenever God's ways conflict with civilization, we should become uncivilized. Not steeped in civilization, but uncivilized, more like God, right? When civilization says, or maybe makes threats, ever know civilization to make threats? How about persecution? Historically, persecution? What was the stat last week? Like 13 Christians a day are being murdered? It seems you, the now church, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose if you're going to live civilized or uncivilized. We can't live on the fence of that anymore. When culture clashes with the king, he's going to ask you to give an account. He's going to ask us for an account. And what we're doing here, hopefully in this series, is recognizing it is time to get stronger again. It is time to follow God like we never followed him before. It's a new season coming. And if we're not ready, we'll be left behind. It seems the now church should choose God's uncivilized way. If you're with me, just show your hand up. Sometimes I feel this. His way should be champagne wishes and caviar dreams. You know, the lifestyle, the rich. Ever watch that? Anybody? The lifestyle, the rich and famous. Robin Leach. Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. You know, that's come to Jesus. He'll forgive your sins. And it's wonderful. We sang about this morning, and I'm grateful every time. And we'll be eternally grateful. But sometimes we sell ourselves a bill of goods. Now I deserve champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Right? And it's just to remind the disciples, enjoy it when he gives them some champagne wishes and some caviar dreams. But that's not the totality of the call of your life. That's not what we're called to stay here and do. You know, remember, his ways are different than the world sometimes. We're supposed to love not our own lives unto death. And the big fact is, we learn this in the series, he can, right? And he does send us to tough places and to tough people sometimes. Ever been sent to a tough place? Yeah. Ever been sent to tough people? Yeah. If you got relatives, you've been sent to tough people. It happens, right? God said he will send you to wolf situations sometimes. Jesus himself said to the church, as it was forming with the 12, he said, hey, I'm going to send you out amongst wolves. That don't sound very safe, Jesus. You sure about that? But it's okay. Because he's still the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? He deals with wolves. That's his job. The shepherd's job is to deal with wolves. Do we have a slide on what we learned about the sheep's job is, Shai? Yeah, the sheep's job is to, not to gray. It's to graze. It's not to gray. The sheep's job is to graze and multiply where the shepherd leads you. Right? So what's the sheep's job? The shepherd goes, hey, there's a lot of stuff out here that's good for you to eat. I got some clover. If you're a sheep person, I don't know if they can eat clover. You know, there's stuff out, mangoes. You know, I don't know what there's out there. There's stuff out there. They're mango. Yeah, sheep are loving mangoes. They're out there. The shepherd brings them there, and he says, go eat. But I don't want to eat this. I don't like it. I had to go to a vegan restaurant this week and spend a lot of money to someone I love so I would eat vegetables. She made them taste like not vegetables. That's why I like them. Yeah, they're like, oh, don't tell me what it is. Don't tell me what it is. It says chicken sandwich. I will taste chicken, and I will believe it's chicken. Don't tell me how tofu is made. No, I won't eat it again. You know? But sometimes we got to make ourselves eat stuff that we don't want to eat because it's good for us. That's maturity. That's maturity, right? Sheep's job is to graze and then multiply. So here was the question we had. Can he lead us still? And can he send us? Really? Can he really lead us anywhere? And leading us is great because, okay, he's there. You're with me? Yeah, I'll follow him. What if he sends you? That means you go, I'll get you later. Can he do that to us anymore? The third key that we looked at was that ourselves as disciples asking a couple questions, right, Shai? A couple questions I put up here that we had to go back over. Maybe not. So one question is, Lord. Nope. The third one. Maybe not. Well, here's the question. I'll read it to you and maybe she can find it. Lord, where am I too civilized? We're supposed to ask that question. Where in my life am I too civilized? Where have I given so much comfort and value to culture and what people say around me and who thinks what I think or feels or how they're going to be affected. Where does that interfere with me following you? And then the other question was, Lord, where do you want change from me? Where do you want change from me? And don't ask somebody else because they're going to have answers. And they might not be God's answers, or they might be God's answers. But ask him first, and then if you ask someone else, let them confirm what God said to you. But can we let him say it? Like, we're his church, his bride. We're his answer to the world. We're his vessels to carry his presence. And we say we love him, then we got to let him answer those questions in our life. And so this series has been pushing us. You can see why it's been a hard series. Number four, one of the things it says that we learned was don't worry and agonize, especially about evil or civilization thriving their way. You know, ever be a little envious? Why are they getting away with that? Come on, right?
Yeah.
Does it frustrate you a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, what we learned when that starts happening is the key is get back to the important things. What's the most important thing? When you start comparing yourself to other people. Oh my gosh, Harold's a billionaire. I'm not a billionaire. Why does Evan's head look so gold bald and mine looks terrible? If I could only sing like Jake, I would have a recording album. You know? We start, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Ever get in a woe is me? Come on. Ever get in a woe is me cycle and you're like, woe is me, right? Yeah, right? The best thing you can do is boil it down to the most important thing. Wait a second, how do I value my life? How do I judge me right now? Okay, knowing Jesus is the most important event in a person's life, period. Do I know that? Do I know him? And what's the second most important thing when you get the most discouraged you can possibly be? Remember, maintain and grow your relationship. Because if you don't, you're going to fall out of love. I'm a professional marriage counselor, and I see it all the time. They came in on white stallions. They spent $4 billion on their wedding. And they confessed their love to the world in song, in deed, in an album, in music video. For $19.95, you can get a copy. Right? And then 6 months later, I don't like you. Divorce. Give me half your stuff. I found somebody else. You came in a blaze of glory. In the song, you said, ain't nobody ever going to be you but you. You, baby, 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 you. That was in the song. Only you, baby. And then what happened? You didn't maintain that relationship. You came in with a blaze of glory and won her hand, and then you did nothing to keep it. And that happens to us in our relationship with Jesus. He rescues us from sin, and we're a mess, and we're so grateful. Right? Remember that moment? We took a moment to get quiet. Remember that moment he saved you? That moment you were done. Like, you were done. I didn't know if I believed God. I didn't know if I believed anything. I don't know if I cared anymore. Done. Remember those moments? And he came in. You said, you'll never forget that. But we do. In that moment, he wants us to remember, I loved you then. And if you'll keep with me, I'll show you greater love than that. And then we just get all messed up. And so in this series, we're learning the uncivilized need to stay in love. Right? So we learned also to stop pointing our fingers at others, right? Make sure that's our hearts and hands doing the will of the Lord. So we learned a key lesson number five, Shai. Yeah. It's time to get into your God-designed position, right? He's got a kingdom work for us to do, but if we're out of position, we can't get it done. If we're not in proper position, it hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's time to get in position. Because we learned, and I didn't put up there as a slide, as we get into the next key, we learned that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to be there. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, and that was really tough. And we learned that praise is important, right? Super important. And so as I transition to the scriptures I want to get into, I just want to go over some of those points because they're going to be important for our future. It's like saying, Pastor John, you want to lose weight? Yeah, you got to work in your core. Ah, can I just drink whey protein? No, you got to do some bicep curls and you got to sweat in the garage. You know what I'd rather do is take those pills for $19.95. Yeah. No, there's things you have to do to stay healthy this year. We just got some keys. So that we don't get stolen, we don't get tripped up, we're actually become the church we ought to be, right? Proverbs 3, 6 through 8. In all your ways, how many ways? All. Know and acknowledge and recognize him. That means in everything you do. If you're the best doctor in the world, give God praise for that. If you're the best mechanic, if you're not the best mechanic, you did a good thing, you found a thing, you helped a person, whatever you do in your body, mind, and soul, whatever good thing comes into your life, recognize him. Recognize him. We forget that sometimes, you know. Recognize him and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that could block your way. And here's the killer part, Jen, you ready? This is where I trip up. This is pastor on blast. You ready? Do not be wise in your own eyes. You ever know all that in a bag of chips? Ever been the expert? I know what you're going to say before you said it. That's why I answered before I let you finish talking. Woo! I know, it's not marriage counseling. We're not talking about that. But he's talking to us. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's the opposite of H life. But so often we take our expertise and maybe even a vision from God, and we're so haughty with it. And he's reminding us, hey, don't be so wise in your own eyes. Right? Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. So he's saying if you fear God like that, obey and resist the devil, right? What's going to happen if I do all those things? If I just practice that, Jake, what's going to happen? It says in the scripture, it will be health to my body, to my marrow, to my nerves, my sinews, my muscles, and my inner parts, and refreshment and physical well-being to my bones. So obeying God in some hard things sometimes can actually refresh the health of your body. But let's take it metaphorically now, too, because I believe that. You know, when you're bitter, there's an acidic content that happens in your system that creates disease. It does. But let's metaphorically talk about, imagine if you were a sinew in the body of Christ and you decided to get healthy. And what if you were a muscle and you're a nerve and you decided this year to get healthy? What would happen to the whole body? We'd be healthy. Right? I can't make that nerve get healthy. She just on my nerve. Pfft. Sue. Pfft. Trying to be an ear. I wish I could be an eye like you. You know, I think this year, if we'll concentrate on us getting healthy, not in a selfish way, I'm going to work on me. It's me time. Me. It's for me. It's me and my time for me. Don't tread on me time for it's me, my time. It's all about me time. Didn't you hear the message? I'll misquote pastor this week. It's me time. That's what he said. It's time to work on me. Because I'm the only one who can. I'm the only one who can do that. Right? My emotional, physical, spiritual life, that's up to me. So in season one, in our Uncivilized series, in this little observance, I want us to see how this season, how the civilized and the uncivilized are going to be easily separated and seen. This next key is how you can look most like God and how you'll start looking least like civilization. This is the next scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me. So if I have the gifts, I'm in the body of Christ, I'm selling books, people are getting saved, demons are being released, people are being healed, my crusades are going off the charts, I got lots of followers, and there's proof in my ministry that people are getting saved, because here's the connection card, here's some lives that are being changed, and all that's happening. And I don't have love, what happens to me? I become only a, say only a. Only a. Well, I mean, I'm a little, no, only a. If that's the way I'm going to choose to live, I'll become only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Just an annoying distraction. Do you know your Christian walk can be an annoying distraction? Yeah. Not in a good way. Yeah. Just be annoying. You're doing lots of cool stuff, but boy, I don't want to go talk to you. Why? Because you're just so condescending. You're so much holier than me. I can't tell you my problem because I can't have any around you. That's annoying. Church doesn't need to present that to the world. And if I have the gift of prophecy and I speak a new message from God himself. This was such a slamming series. You guys were out there like, man, we're preaching the gospel. We're starting churches. It's the greatest series in the world, Pastor. So I had a new message from God. And I speak it to the people and I understand all mysteries. And I possess all knowledge. I got it all. And I have all sufficient faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, and I'll reach out to others, I am nothing. Nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, I look like I'm dying for you, Jesus. I look like I'm martyring my life. But I do not have love, then it does me what? No good at all. So he cares about the motivation, right? So we talked about if you don't do the will of my Father, you're not getting in. Lord, Lord. Many are going to say, Lord, Lord. He said, you didn't do the will of my Father. Say, so it's all about works. No, it's about doing the works with the right heart. He said, you can do all the works that I asked you to do. You can actually hear my voice and preach my message. You can actually remove demons under my authority. You can do all of that. But if you do it without love, I just use you to get work done. But you're nothing. We got to look different. It's time to look uncivilized here. Real love can't be found in self-absorption, self-lording civilization that we live in. To obtain and distribute love for the sake of others is the work of the uncivilized. It's the uncivilized job. God contrasts civilization really big. And we learned, it's not the scripture not up there, Shai, don't worry about it. In John, I think is at 1:4, he talks about God is love. God is love, right? So when you want to show God to the world, it looks like love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-11. It's our job to display to the world, say, I am the church, and this is my purpose. This is uncivilized. Right here. Love endures with patience and serenity. This is rarely seen in civilization. If you drive on the 60, you won't notice this. True. Fact. Right there. There is no enduring with any kind of patience. Miss your turn and try to get over into the right lane during traffic hour. No, there's no patience there for you. And if you make two mistakes, you may get carjacked. But love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Now, this contradicts society, doesn't it? I mean, civilization teaches get to the top, baby. Get there, maintain whatever you need to do. And if you're not the top, you're the bottom. That's scripturally. Not the head, not the tail. Be the head, boy. Love's kind and thoughtful and not jealous or envious. Love wants your brother to succeed. Love is so proud of them for coming out of nothing and giving their lives to God and getting somewhere. For giving up that addiction that's held them in bondage for 20 years. They don't need you to critique them to the next level. They need you to encourage them where they at. Right? That's what they need. Love is kind and thoughtful. These are uncivilized thoughts. Not jealous, not envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. Hold on, say, I'm the church. Well, I got to work on that part. Got to work on being kind and uncivilized. Because, you know, like four times with the other cheek, I'm about 40 seconds into traffic and I lose that. I'm trying to help you with my body. I'm trying to throw myself on the nails so you don't feel bad about yourself. But guess is what God is doing. He's calling us to be uncivilized again, and it looks like this. I wish it looked like a kilt and a broadsword, to be honest with you. Actually, I'd like one of Pastor Jody's ninja swords. Broadsword's too heavy. Larry and Evan and Mark can wield those. Jake and I will use ninja swords. I would love that kind of uncivilized battle. Loose me, Lord. Let me paint my face blue and scream at the enemy and go slice and dice. Yeah, right. Hoorah! That's what I want. I want to live that kind of uncivilized. Bring it on, punk. You want to serve the devil? You had a chance to get saved. One for Jesus. Knocked him out. Larry, how many did you take out? You know? Love does not brag. It is not proud. It's not arrogant. Love is not rude. Say this with me. Well, I might be too civilized. Yeah. How often does the rude come out? Yeah. This is helpful. Because when we're not rude, we're uncivilized. When the waitress screws up your order over and over again, and you're kind and sweet, and you tip her way more than she deserves, you're uncivilized. See, the civilized go, big girl, and this and that, and I saved her a penny and a note. That's a civilized move. That's not an uncivilized, born-again, spirit-filled disciple of Jesus Christ. Because it says to me that God is not rude. I mean, love is not rude. God is love, love. God is not rude. And I'm supposed to be just like him. That's my J-O-B, right? It is not self-seeking. Man, we just had a key about that. I'm unselfish when I'm uncivilized. When I care about civilization, I start thinking about what I don't have, what I need to do to protect me and my family, what I need to get. So it's all, I'm not trying to hoard up stuff, but I need to see the future and protect everybody and make sure everybody's financially taken care of and we got a plan. That's how I am. Sometimes that's just seeking for selfish reasons. Sometimes it's not, but I have to know the difference. Because I really want to follow him as an uncivilized example in the earth. Because there's about to overthrow the kingdom again. And he's looking for soldiers who have the courage and the guts to do it. Not with your arm, but with this. This is the key. This is the key. Key of keys. Love is not rude, is not self-seeking. It is not provoked. You ready? Nor overly sensitive. The uncivilized are not provoked or overly sensitive. Anybody care to raise their hand and feel like, yeah, sometimes I'm oversensitive? Woo! He's living it. This is a great church. I love. Yeah, I got that problem. Good. That's accountability. You can go, okay. Some you got to. Well, maybe it's other people. If other people, if they wouldn't, stop the Z. You got to work on you. You are the church. But no, I know they're being rude, but they got to work on rudeness. They raise their hand for rudeness. You raise your hand for sensitivity. They can't. Yeah. Sometimes we're just too sensitive. Sometimes we're easily provoked. You know, I could have put a picture of the 60 up there, but I didn't. I didn't want anybody to flash back, you know. And it's sad because my problem is this. It really is my problem. I feel like I do so good for so long at being provoked. And I really feel like I've done, especially if you know me before Jesus. I'm giving all the glory to God because without that, don't even look at me in a way that I think you're doing something before Jesus. I was the hottest head I know. And an inch that you could light my flame. So for me to just take it and walk into a corner and just take it, I think I'm doing awesome. But all the enemies do and go, I know at some point in time I can provoke you. Not that guy, not that girl, not that Facebook, not that article, not that. But the enemy of my soul, the one I'm really fighting, he's the provoker. And he knows me almost as good as the Lord. And he knows, I know, you're doing good, aren't you? Yeah, I'm going to send more and more and more because at some point in time, I know you're going to lose your crap. Flame on. That's my biggest shame moment. When I let that happen. Not only am I not uncivilized, and I'm not love, I'm not looking like God. And not only did I just not do all that, but I just probably blew someone else's life up right there somehow. God, work all things together for your good. Ever been there? So, uncivilized means I can't be easily provoked. Uncivilized means I got to stop being overly sensitive. And the uncivilized are not what? Easily angered. Anybody need prayer for that? Mm-hmm. Seriously, we need prayer to stop that. Us that raise our hands. If that's not your thing, you're like, no, I'm a rude person. I'm not angered. Then pray for us angry people. Seriously. Pray for us. Why? Because we want to look like God. We want to be uncivilized. We want to win this war against the enemy of the souls of the world. And they'll never know that God is different if they don't see it in us. If they just see us looking like the rest of civilized, then how they know what God looks like? Well, you just act like everybody else. That guy cut you off. You popped in the nose just like that other dude. Yeah, but I love Jesus. Oh, do you? Man, devil one, pastor zero. The uncivilized are not easily angered. Love does not take into account a wrong endured. Stop collecting grudges. It's not the way. Say, this is not the way. This is not the way. It's tough. Some of us have a list. Pastor Sharon, I was trying not to look at you. She's like a little tea kettle. I'll hit her, pop. She just pops up. You got to get rid of that list. She probably got one back from sixth grade. I got that. I run into that girl. Wait, the sandbox. I remember her. Uh-huh. My name is Sharon. Sharon, say it. No, she doesn't. No. 50s, and I love her so much. But love does not take into account a wrong endured. That's definitely uncivilized. Civilization never wants anyone to forget any wrong they've ever done, and they want to bring it and put you on blast and set you up for it and then put you on the big screen when you do it. That's not the way. Love does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Oh, here we go. See, that was a good break. I can go, wow, I'm okay. I'm doing good on that one. Someone else could feel the sweat of that one. Mm-mm. Okay, read the next one, Sean. Okay. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Ever serve the Lord and feel like you did everything right, and you feel like you got a bucket of crap back in return? Christian? Yeah. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. The uncivilized know how to be tough and how to endure. And we don't do it for the paycheck. We do it for the Lord. We don't do it for the reward. We do it for the Lord. We don't do it for the outcome. Though we're praying, Lord, I did this. I sowed this seed. I did this nice thing. Helped that little lady across the street. I put her groceries in her trunk and she smacked me in the back of the head. Okay. Well done. Turn the other head. Let them match you. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Sometimes it's conditional, isn't it? I can only bear, Lord. If you're really there, you'd come through by now. How many ever said that? If you're really there, you'd come through by now. Yeah, right? Well, sometimes that's how we are. Love believes all things. Oh, this is uncivilized at its core. Love believes all things, looking for the best in each other. That's totally not a civilized response. We are taught by nature to critique each other to death. Especially the church, our job is to be critical of the world. He's never said that. I feel like if I'm going to believe all things, then I need to start believing all things in you. Because sometimes I want to believe all things in me. God can do all things in me, in Christ who strengthens me. Right? Ever hear someone's dream? Ever ask someone what God called them to do? How outlandish it seems, or how impractical it seems. Pray for them and encourage them to go after something God's speaking to them. By all means, put your wisdom in there. Do it gently and kindly. Wives don't need more discouragement from their husbands when they get home how the house looks and smells and acts. Husbands don't need to be told how to take the garbage out. But that's how it starts to happen, doesn't it? It's just a whole bunch of criticism back and forth to make each other better. How about we start looking at the best in each other, start polishing that up? What if we change the world by being less selfish ourselves and deciding to put some encouragement into someone else, our brother and sister, and make them the focus of building them up? What if we did that? We would be so uncivilized. Like, man, why are you being nice to me? I love to travel with Kirsten because she just spreads that everywhere she goes. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm in line and I have to hear, man, your eyebrows are on point. I know she's talking to some girl behind the counter about her eyebrows. And we're going to be there 10 minutes because girls go, oh, thank you so much. And they'd be crying. You said my eyebrows are nice. I'm like, wow. Okay. Good. But that girl's day was a lot better after that one little comment. What if we took something like that and we were sincere and we became uncivilized in our serving of God to the point that all we could do is really cultivate each other instead of criticize each other? How uncivilized would we be? How changed would we be? Love bears all things, ready what comes. Love believes all things, looking for the best in each other. Love hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Do I need to read that one again? Endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades. It never ends. As for prophecies, they're going to end. As for tongues, they're going to cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it's going to pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. If you ever are in a situation and you don't really know how to act, ever been in a situation like, I don't know what to do. Like in this situation, I have no idea what to do. I just don't know what to do. Your default key is right here. I know, what would God do in this situation? I have no idea. Go, God is love. How do I love right now? I don't feel like loving, but how do I love right now, God? What does love look like right now? Because it's always needed. No matter what the circumstance, God's always needed in the midst of it. So when you get in the circumstance, you don't know how would an uncivilized believer live right this minute. I want you to go, wait a minute, what would love do right now? What would love look like right now if I did that? If we know in part, we prophesy in part, incomplete. God says you're not ever going to know it all, so stop acting like you do. Like, I don't teach perfect doctrine here. Man, I wish I did. I wish I did. But I'm not perfect. Something, right? We're all that way. That's where we all are. And we have to remember, you're incomplete. God said, you don't have it all. You don't fully even know what you think you know. And that should settle us a little bit, right? A little bit. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. Here's the tough part. When I was a child, the uncivilized are not babies. When I was a child, okay, you can look at me. I would say, look at your neighbor, but this could offend them. Look at me and talk to me and say this to me. Say, stop being a baby. Stop being a baby. Stop being a baby. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, the uncivilized are mature. You can't send an immature person out into battle. They'll get killed and people around them. We got to toughen up our love brackets. We got to ratchet down some love in our life. It's been loose, right? It's time. It says, I did away with childish things. Now, I know this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you with this. I don't know if anybody here hasn't accepted you. I'm looking around. I'm not going to make you feel uncomfortable, but maybe you don't know Jesus. One of the coolest things that you're going to need to come to understanding of what Jesus is, we have this. I have mine on today. I usually wear it because it helps me. I have my cross. We have one over there. This is a symbol, the most uncivilized symbol you could have. This is supposed to remind us that living for God's an uncivilized thing. And civilization may kill you for it. So he will forgive your sins. Oh man, does he. And he will cleanse you. And he'll set you back on a path. And he'll bless you. But don't be sold a bill of Christianity then it's going to be all champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Because the symbol of the uncivilized is the cross. And that means dying to ourselves. So we can rise like he did. And what does that look like? The uncivilized, it looks like love. That's our job, right? That's our job. So would you stand with me as we close season one, episode 6, the finale? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you've had been selfish. Maybe you got some kind of addiction. Maybe you travel back to a village in your life that you're supposed to not be in, and he's trying to get you home. Maybe you're rude. Maybe you're unkind. Maybe you're arrogant or self-righteous. Maybe you are those things. But you're also the church of Jesus Christ. And you're on your way up from the bottom of the pond. And it's time to rise up to those places again and be the uncivilized church, wrecking the world with God's love. Wrecking the world with God's love. Sending you into a situation where you want to be rude and you don't, you tip well. Sending you into situations that you want to be arrogant and you shut your mouth. Sending you into situations where there's wolves trying to provoke you, Ken. But we're going to respond uncivilized this year. We're going to respond better than we ever have. And you know why I believe that? Because I believe the Holy Spirit's with us in it. I believe he's saying it, so he's going to help us. He said, I'm going to do it in you. So if you feel like God's calling you to live uncivilized again, and that's really you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for all of us. And if it's not you, I want you to raise your hand to someone who has their hand raised and pray for us. So Father, we're here. I'm right here. I'm not on the pulpit, Father. I'm right here. I want us to live uncivilized. I want us to live love when it's inconvenient and difficult. I want us to be what we ought to be in spite of the guy behind the pulpit, in spite of the guy in me. Lord, you would loose your spirit in us in such a way that we could live uncivilized love at any cost, for any reason, at any moment you could send us. We are your church, and we love you passionately. We've come back to you again this morning to sing of our love to you and to appreciate you. Receive all these offerings this morning, all these hands. Receive us, Lord, and do in us astounding things this year that cause civilization to quake and tremble and cause civilization to see what God really looks like when they look at us. Say, I am the church and I will be uncivilized. In Jesus' name.